Most of our electricity is still created by the burning of something, coal or natural gas generally, but renewables continue to gain ground. And there's often great enthusiasm for new solar and wind projects. In the Medford area, a plan to create a solar farm in the countryside passed through the Jackson County planning process and then came to an abrupt stop at the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA. LUBA agreed with an appeal that exclusive farm use land, EFU, is not the place for a solar farm. It's not a true farm. The appeal came from the land use watchdog group 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Mariel Darson is an attorney there and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So for the people not familiar with 1,000 Friends of Oregon, been around a long time, give us a little history here.
Sure. 1,000 Friends was created about 44, 45 years ago, shortly after Oregon's land use system was created. Governor Tom McCall was passionate about Oregon's farm and forest lands, and after stepping down from being governor, he worked together with a young attorney named Henry Richman to form a group called 1,000 Friends, later called 1,000 Friends, to help make sure that Oregon's new fledgling land use system would continue to function to serve its purposes, which includes preserving farmland and forest land, as well as compact urban growth and providing livable communities for all Oregonians. So since that time, 1,000 Friends has been working towards that goal and helping shepherd the land use system as it functions across the state.
Given the fairly constant criticism of Oregon land use rules, which led to things like the passage of Measure 37 amending them, I mean, this sounds like a task of constant vigilance.
It is definitely constant.
Okay, never a dull moment in the legal office there?
That's correct, yeah. I'm actually based in Bend, so I cover the entire state on rural issues. So, yes, I'm pretty busy.
So this is a rural issue, clearly. I mean, we're talking about potential solar installations or solar farms has become a term of use, I notice, in describing these. But, of course, they're not really farms.
Right.
All right. So are there particular, just in general terms, are there particular kinds of land uses favored by 1,000 Friends or just the correct application of land use laws?
It's more the correct application of the land use laws. I mean, Oregon has an incredibly robust land use system that's functioned really, really well to ensure smart growth and avoid sprawl if you compare to our neighbors to the north and south that don't have as robust land use systems. You'll see the impacts are that they have lost a lot of farm and forest land, and they haven't been able to keep their urban growth compact. And so that's something that Oregon's system does really well, and so we're mostly just concerned with continuing that path.
So, Mariel, under the current rules and zones, I mean, where can renewable energy facilities be set up?
Well, there's a whole suite of complicated rules related to energy facility siting in Oregon, and it's whether they go through different processes depends on what type of facility they are and how large they are. But kind of the general grasp is that there are different siting considerations, and some of them relate to what type of land they're on. Some of them relate to wildlife impacts or other impacts on nearby other going concerns. So depending on the type of facility, they are appropriate on some farmland, some forest land. They're sometimes appropriate in urban areas, industrial areas. It really varies depending on the type of facility.
Are there any sorts of specific zones just for solar or just for wind or anything like that?
Not yet, although that's a great question and something we have been working on and kind of moving towards, and we're thinking that that's something that Oregon should definitely move. Some counties and areas should move in that direction of considering being proactive about siting and actually designating some areas that are most appropriate.
So there's no particular looking at parts of the landscape that might be best used for this, just in terms of zoning, like, you know, a ridgetop that's got good winds would be a good place to put a wind installation, a good, you know, valley where there's very little cloud obstruction and a face to the south, a good solar installation. Nothing quite like that yet, you're saying?
Not really. I think the industrial zone, wherever you have industrial zone lands, that's obviously putting energy facilities might be more appropriate and more an easier process. But I think what you're talking about, more like a targeted, proactive approach, that's something that hasn't really been done yet, and we are certainly in favor of that because we certainly support renewable development, renewable energy, and think it's really important for combating climate change, but we're definitely concerned with the siting process.
The we that Mariel Darsan is talking about is her group 1,000 Friends, the Land Use Watchdog Group in Oregon. She's an attorney for the group. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we continue to talk about siting of energy facilities and more specifically about the recent rejection by the Land Use Board of Appeals of a solar installation on exclusive farm use land near Medford. The phone number to call, 800-838-3760. The email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So the proposal here was 95-plus acres of farmland outside of Medford. Was there any other issue that 1,000 Friends had other than what the land was owned?
I think it's a complicated process, and it's not so much what it was zoned. And not to get into too much of the technical legal issues, but solar actually is allowed under the rules on farmland, but it's certain acreages are allowed depending on the productivity of the soils. And so the issue here wasn't so much that they can't put it at all on this land. It was that this particular solar developer was trying to get an exception to the existing rules and put a much larger facility than what's permitted on that particular type of productivity for those soils.
All right, so exclusive farm use, EFU land, that would indicate that this is pretty darn good farmland. Is this the best farmland out there?
Well, the EFU zone itself doesn't indicate how high quality the farmland is because lots of farmland is zoned EFU or depending with a wide variety of productivity. But this particular land has class one soils and it's irrigated and it's considered under the state definition as high value farmland, which is a limited category based on the productivity, the soils, irrigation, what it can grow, et cetera. And so, yes, this actually is the best farmland in the area, and so it based on that classification.
So given the designation and the classification of the soils themselves, are you surprised that people keep asking to use exclusive farm use land for other uses and land of this quality?
I am a bit surprised given how much Oregon values its agricultural economy and its farmers, I think, but you know, there's always going to be a push against the and it's something that's exclusive, so.
Is this a very thick red line for 1,000 Friends?
I'm not sure what you mean by that, but I would say just for sort of educational purposes, there actually are a lot of non-farm uses allowed on exclusive farm use land under state law. So it's not as if you can only farm. I mean, there's over 50 uses that are either allowed outright or with a conditional use permit on farmland, including solar.
Okay. So what are the conditions under which solar might have been allowed on land of this sort?
Well, in this particular situation, on high-value farmland, you can get a conditional use permit for up to 12 acres. So you can actually take 12 acres of high-value farmland and put a solar farm on it through the conditional use permit process, and that's permitted all over the state. And so this developer could have gone that route and just done 12 acres.
But the other 80 or so would have had to stay in some sort of farm usage?
Correct.
All right. So for the people who do not know how land use approvals work, what happened at the county level in Jackson County?
So the developer sought something called an exception. So they were seeking to actually, instead of having to be limited to 12 acres, they were seeking to go beyond that and say, well, we can justify why we should be able to go beyond that under a couple of different reasons or pathways. And so they submitted their proposal for that, and it went through the county process. And at the Planning Commission level, because this is actually a zone change, what they were seeking was to actually change the classification of the property to what's called limited use so that they could put the solar farm on it and it wouldn't be farm ground anymore. They had to go through both the Planning Commission and the county commissioner. So at the Planning Commission, it actually tied 2-2. And so when the Planning Commission doesn't reach a final decision, that becomes a denial, so a recommendation of denial. So it came out of the Planning Commission with a recommendation for denying it because of that tie, and then it went up to the Board of Commissioners, and they voted to approve it. So it was approved by the Jackson County Board of Commissioners.
How unusual is that? I mean, based on your experience, to have the recommendation for denial come out of the Planning Commission and have the county Board of Commissioners say, you know what, it's not going to be denied.
It's not unheard of. Sometimes planning commissions they have less political pressures on them, and so I think it's, and sometimes they're much more, they get into the details of all of the law and stuff, and so there's, and sometimes there's a lot more people on the planning commission. So it's not unheard of, but it's relatively rare.
All right, so we got a tie at the Planning Commission and an approval from the county commissioners. And then was it 1,000 Friends that appealed it to LUBA, the Land Use Board of Appeals?
Yeah, we did appeal. The state Department of Land Conservation also filed a brief in the appeal, but we were the primary appellant.
All right, and under and what was the case made there?
There was a bunch of different legal issues, but mostly one of the major issues was that the developer was arguing that one of the statewide planning goals, Goal 13, which is the energy conservation goal, actually has a mandate in it that counties have to develop renewable energy, and so that justifies taking this exception and not having to preserve this high-value farmland. And so our argument was that, yes, there is a statewide goal for energy conservation, but that it doesn't actually require counties to construct renewable energy, so such that it doesn't actually take precedent over the agricultural goal, especially on high-value farmland. And so that was one major issue. And then another major issue was related to the substation that they were would plug the solar farm into. And so that substation is actually located inside the urban growth boundary. And so there was an issue of whether you can use a substation that's inside an urban growth boundary to justify converting farmland outside of the urban growth boundary.
Whew, it does get off into some fairly specific points of
yeah, it was pretty complicated.
No doubt. All right, we're talking to Mariel Darson at 1,000 Friends of Oregon, 1,000 Friends about land use issues generally, and more specifically about its decision to appeal the approval of a solar farm on land just outside Medford to the Land Use Board of Appeals, and that was a successful appeal. So we, you know, here we can get totally into the weeds, but just give me a little excursion here. You mentioned Goal 13 already. Goal 3 is mentioned in Jackson County's paperwork. How many land use goals are there altogether?
There are 19.
Mm-hmm. And Goal 1 is what?
You're going to test me now.
It's a public involvement, isn't it?
Goal 1 is public involvement, right?
Uh-huh. All right, so people are always supposed to be part of this process. How heavily was the community aware of this? How big were the hearings? I mean, was that process conducted relatively well from what you could see of the record?
Yeah, I think there was fairly substantial public involvement. I mean, having the opportunity to both appear at the Planning Commission and then the county board, I think there was a fair amount of And I don't know if the developer also reached out to the community beforehand. They might have as well. So I think there was an opportunity, and we heard from lots of members of the public that were aware of this through just them calling us.
And it did seem to stoke up some feelings, and it became interesting on other levels too, because of the fact that, you know, some of the same people who would normally be very much in favor of things like renewable energy projects found themselves kind of at a crossroads with people who also favor but also didn't want to lose high-value farmland. So there were some interesting corners that developed in this set of arguments.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think a lot of that had to do with where exactly this site is. It's in an area that, through the regional planning process and through lots of public conversations, it's been decided by the community that this is an area to be preserved for farmland. And so I think there were a lot of people who felt like this was kind of sacred ground and wasn't appropriate for conversion to another use, which might be a different situation if it was, you know, out in the hinterlands on sort of non-productive ground.
Mm-hmm. But this is north of Medford, between Medford and Central Point, north of Ross Anley Road, isn't it?
Right. It's sort of between, it's west of Medford, sort of.
So LUBA now sends this back to the county. Are there any particular instructions to the county, like how to do this again differently?
Well, I will throw in that actually the developer has appealed the LUBA decision to the Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. So it won't go back to the county yet because it's going to be it will go up to the Court of Appeals first.
And given the general string of events between LUBA, Land Use Board of Appeals, and Courts of Appeal, does LUBA get overruled often?
They don't. There's a pretty high standard for turning over a LUBA decision.
Mm-hmm. If the appeal at the Court of Appeals is unsuccessful and the developer does choose to go back again through the county process, I mean, what's the normal thing that happens when LUBA remands to the county?
Well, and actually, this was not a remand. Mm-hmm. Normally, LUBA actually does send it back. This is actually a reversal, so that means that they've got to start pretty much all over it. They've got to start from scratch.
Oh, yeah. So this was not a try again. This was a no.
Right.
In essence, wow.
Which is fairly unusual coming out of LUBA, but that had to do with the fact that these were some pretty specific, untested legal points. So this was the first case that was sort of construing some of these issues with respect to solar. So it was kind of new ground, and so there's some pretty new rulings here.
Okay, and a lot more to come, clearly. I mean, I was looking at the 1,000 Friends website, and it talks about a clean energy jobs bill for the next legislature. So your group does indeed have some issues about clean energy.
We're in favor of the clean energy jobs bill, and I think we're absolutely supportive of renewable energy development. I think we want to make sure we're clear about that. And there have been many, many, many solar and wind developments across the state that are going forward that we are not involved in at all. We definitely think there's a place and it's appropriate. I think it's just a matter of, you know, the land use goals, the land use rules are important, and they need to continue to be enforced across the board, even in the case of renewable energy development.
And Muriel, just a couple of seconds left. Is this a case that has happened similarly before, or is this something new?
This was a new one. Mm-hmm. This was there are about five or six similar ones that across the state that we're kind of watching to see what was going to happen, because this one kind of made its way through the process first.
Okay, and we were talking about 95.27 acres of exclusive farm use land. They were looking for a limited use rezoning there to be able to put a solar farm on it, and the Jackson County Commissioners said yes. Land Use Board of Appeals said no. It's now going up to the Court of Appeals. Muriel Darson is an attorney with 1,000 Friends. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Take care.